Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. Did you know that last Monday and Tuesday, there was the largest plague of locusts to ever hit southern Israel? Did you hear about that on the news? Just wait, you will. You will. Did you know on December 21st, not only is St. Thomas going to have a caroling hayride through the neighborhood, but according to the internet, the Mayan calendar says the world will end. Did you know that? Notre Dame will play for the national football championship. All these end of the world kind of things. Do you remember back in 1999, not the famous Prince song, but the actual year, when we all thought that the computers were going to crash because someone forgot to think far enough ahead in the programming that 99 would roll over to 00 instead of 001, and that it was going to create great havoc. Do you remember that? There was warnings, power systems are going to crash, airplanes are just going to drop out of the sky. All kinds of things are going to happen. Somebody made a lot of money off of survival kits for that day. And yet, on that night, not much happened, right? It's always kind of funny to me when you begin to talk about the end of the world, how quickly we might sort of start to look for signs and different pieces of information. So we have the locusts, right? We have the Mayan calendar. NASA is about to make a special announcement about a significant finding on Mars. There's all kinds of ways we could project into those things that it's a sign of the end times. How many of you read the book of Revelation as a child? Do you remember reading it? Did it scare you? Did it maybe make you think again about the beasts and the four horses of the apocalypse and the earthquake and the tempest and the fires? See, part of it is when we encounter that kind of thinking, it really does shake us up. It makes us think and look again. If you've ever kind of been around enough people, worlds end all the time. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, a sudden change in life. I would imagine that there's some neighborhoods near where Hurricane Sandy hit that the whole world has changed significantly. Neighbors that used to be there, their homes might have been destroyed or might be gone. Where you went, the place that you had coffee, whatever it might be. You know, the world in a sense of how we orient ourselves, where we look for those things we can count on, where we know that that place might be. Sometimes our world ends, and yet everyone else's kind of continues. I think about that when I read the scriptures that we have for today. When we read from Daniel and Revelation, and when we hear about this particular moment of conversation between Pilate and Jesus, about the world that we live in, and how it's being remade, renewed, recreated all the time. A friend of mine came up, and he lived down in the southern part of Texas, and he came up to visit us one time during this time of the year, about the third week of December. And he said something kind of funny. Paul was here, and he said, "You know, Gar, the light sure is long this time of year in Kansas." And I didn't really kind of catch what he said until he pointed out that it was noon, and when we looked at our shadows, they extended so far out. And for this person who lived a little closer to the equator, the light seemed gray and dim, and the light seemed long. In our neighborhood and in our house that we have about 20 trees in our yard, maybe a few more, which means a lot of leaves at this time of year. But there's a change when I go outside. When the trees have all of their leaves, I can hardly hear the highway that's not too far or the roads that are not too far away. But when the leaves fall, there are new sounds. Plus, you can see into the neighbors' homes, they can see into ours. And it seems like the earth is dying. The trees become barren, the squirrels hide away, and yet every once in a while, there's one tree that says, "Hey, I'm still alive." It's that evergreen. It's one of the evergreen trees, still green, still beautiful, still saying, "I'm alive, I'm still doing what biology says I ought to do," while everything else seems to be turning brown and gray as the days get shorter and the nights get longer and longer. I always think about that as we enter this particular season, a time of Advent, a time of preparing for Christmas, that dark night when light enters the world and something new is born. There's another part of this whole season in which you kind of watch, if you have a garden or if you planted something, for that first flower to kind of burst through the soil. And it's those little crocus, you know what I'm talking about? Sometime February-ish, they kind of show up when it doesn't seem like they ought to. They pop up and they say, "Spring's about to happen. Hope is coming. Allergies are on their way." But there is that light. There is that life. There is that in the darkness which would push through. What is Jesus talking about in his sense of kingdom? Does he really mean a new kingdom? Is he going to replace Caesar? Is he going to replace Herod? Or does he mean something else? Pilate is the governor of the area where Jesus is. He's incredibly powerful. He represents the Roman Empire. And there is Jesus, this Judean, this Jew who is a simple person. And they have a conversation about who's in charge. "Are you a king? You say that I am, but my kingdom's not from here." "Then you're a king." "Well, you say it." It's an interesting and puzzling conversation. But what is the kingdom that Jesus is building? In Jesus' time, the temple, that place in the center of Jerusalem, was the center of the entire Jewish world. The political rulers, the religious rulers, taxation, everything, the law, everything happened from that place. And when they were occupied by the Romans said, "As long as you pay us taxes, you can keep all this." And so their life and their society continued, and that was the center of the universe for them. If you ever have a chance to travel there and you know a little bit of this place in the Western Wall, it's where the Jews tend to pray, you place notes in, there's all kinds of wonderful imagery around that. If you go there and you look down, there is a place that goes way down, about 150 feet, and you can see rocks that were of the foundation of the temple that we're talking about. It was a real place. But for the people of that time, if that temple were to go away, if that temple were to be destroyed, their world would end. Their understanding, their orientation, the place that they pointed themselves to would go away. And so when Jesus says, "I will tear this temple down and in 3 days I will build a new temple," what he's saying is frightening. And yet what he says later, he says, "When you gather together and if you break this bread and you drink this wine and remember me, I will be in you, and you will be in me. You will be my body, my temple, my kingdom." Paul furthers that notion, getting us to think of our body as the temple of Christ. So if that's the kingdom that Jesus is creating, then are we the new kingdom? Are we the kingdom that's very present in this moment? Are we those beacons of light? Are we those evergreen trees and those crocus pointing up in a world that seems dark and fainting and passing? Maybe we can be that light when we encounter someone that can't find it. Maybe we're that evergreen tree proclaiming that we're all still alive, and it's still beautiful, and there's love, and there's light. I think this is what Jesus is getting at in the scriptures, and if we listen to the rest of what he says, how he proclaims that we are the body, that we are to go forth into the world to proclaim that very hope. I don't think the world's going to end because there's locusts in Israel. I don't think the world's going to end because the computers have the wrong digits. We got past that already, so. And I don't think the world's going to end on December 21st. Though you can come and sing Christmas carols if you want to. But I think that God's kingdom can be proclaimed wherever we might be. As you go about your week this week, as we kind of go from our season of giving thanks, and as we prepare for that season of Christmas, challenge yourself to see as the days get shorter and the nights get longer, how you might be light and life in other people's lives. How you might be the very presence of God's kingdom wherever you might be. How you might be called to be that beacon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.